We have several of our choirs from the Sunday school taking part in our ministry tonight. And I'm going to call first of all upon the Good News Bible Club led by Mrs. Esther Moorhead. And then following them, the Young People's Fellowship will be taking part in song. Mrs. Moorhead.
Bible Club, we've been learning about what God is like. He is the only true God. He is powerful, He is holy, and He is good. But most of all, He is love, because He sent His only Son into the world to be our Savior. Tonight, we would like to share some verses that tell about God's greatness. Come, let us adore Him.
God is God.
Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God.
God is holy.
1 Samuel 2, verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is any rock like our God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, young people, for that message in song. It is so true for the Christian that in our times of joy and happiness we run to the Lord, but much more so when we are in times of grief and agony and distress, we find in Him our safe refuge. So thank you, young people, for that ministry in song. Also, a word of thanks to our Good News Bible Club. These folks meet on every Friday night in our Whitfield Christian School, ranging from age around 8 years old up to 12 years old. And we're just so thankful for that work that is being done and the young people hearing the Word of God and memorizing the Scripture and being able to sing these good hymns of the faith. At this time, our primary and junior departments are going to come and sing for you and recite some scripture led by Mrs. Sharon Kruger, and then following them the Sunshine Choir will be coming, being led by Mrs. Robinson. Take your hymnal, please. Turn to number 89, just while the little ones gather in. Hymn number 89. Just remain seated, please, while we sing verses 1 and 4. much, boys and girls from the Sunshine Club, the Sunshine Room, rather. We're very happy that you've been able to take part tonight in the ministry here. We're very pleased to welcome Pastor Daniel Olson to our church. He is no stranger to us. And boys and girls, you may remember him from last year as he was here with us for the similar time we had our Sunday School Christmas program. And I appreciate our brother. He has ministered for us in our Christian school, takes the assemblies, and he is pioneering a gospel work here in Scarborough. And we do appreciate the ministry of our brother and do ask you to pray for him. My brother, you're very welcome here tonight, and may the Lord bless you as you bring the word.
Last year, as he said, I had the privilege of bringing the children's message, and afterwards, Brother George Robinson thanked me for a message on his level, and so this evening, this is for Brother George, but I think that the children will also benefit, and the rest of us as well. Boys and girls, I appreciate the singing and the scripture recitation that you have given for us tonight. It has been a blessing to me, and I hope now to be a blessing to you as we look at God's Word together. I want to ask a question and then answer it. The question is, why should we celebrate Christmas? And why do we celebrate Christmas? I think many, many people celebrate Christmas without really thinking about the reason. They go about and they're in the malls and they're shopping and there's lots of singing and a great deal of happiness. But unfortunately, many people don't really know why we celebrate Christmas. We ought to know why we celebrate Christmas. And the answer is in a big word I want to teach you tonight. Just one big word I want us to learn tonight. And it's not so much the word, but what the word means. The word is incarnation. That's a big word, but it's one we can all learn. And it's one every Christian ought to know. Incarnation. The incarnation is this, boys and girls. The incarnation is that God the Son became a human being, but he never stopped being God. God the Son became a human being like you and like me, except without sin. He really and truly became a human being, but he never stopped being God. And that means that Jesus is the only individual in all of the universe who is God and man at the same time. And we particularly remember this truth at Christmas, because it is at the Christmas season that we remember that at a certain time in history, God became a human being without ever stopping being God. Boys and girls, I want to look at just two pieces of the Christmas story as Luke recorded it for us to remind us of the reality of the incarnation and the reason for the incarnation. What is the reality of the incarnation? What do I mean by that? I mean this. I mean that Jesus really did become a human being, and Jesus became a real human being. In Luke chapter 2, the first 7 verses, we read this, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Boys and girls, I noticed that when Luke told this story, he mentioned a specific time and a specific place. You see, Jesus, God who became a man, isn't just a story, and he's not an imaginary person. Luke even told us exactly when and where it happened. He said it happened when this man Augustus was ruling the world and when another fellow was governor. That's his way of telling us the time, the year that it was. It would be like saying my firstborn was born in the 51st year of the reign of Queen Elizabeth. It gives us a specific time. And he names the place Bethlehem. It's an actual town you can find on a map. And you can visit there even if you have the money to fly there. I even know someone who used to live in Bethlehem. It's a real place. Boys and girls, Jesus really became a human being. He became a real human being. Luke told us it happened at a certain time and a specific place. You know what else, boys and girls? When God became a man, He became a man, not an angel. He did not come from another planet. He did not come from outer space. He was born to a woman, because that's how real human beings come to be. He was born to a woman. You know what? The Bible even records for us that He started life as a baby. Now, what is a baby like? It so happens I have a baby with me this evening. You all have heard more of him than I intended already. Now, notice please, boys and girls, that this baby has a face, and he's smiling at you because he likes people. He has hands, little hands. He has feet, and you can see them because he won't leave his socks on. He has ears. He has a nose. He has a mind. And it's not quite like our minds, but it's growing fast, and he's learning every day and doing new things. He is something, someone that you can hold and touch. You can see him. You can hear him. Yes. He's real. You know what else? He has physical needs. This baby boy needs food every day. He needs clothing. He needs a place to sleep. Now, when Mary's baby needed the first place to sleep, they weren't even allowed to give him a proper bed. They went to an inn where there was no room, so they laid that baby in a manger. This baby gets laid in a nice bed, for which I'm grateful. But Jesus was laid in a manger. That's a cattle trough. That's a trough that animals ate out of. Jesus began life as a baby. He wasn't an angel. He wasn't from outer space. He wasn't a made-up story. He was a real person. The Bible also tells us that that baby grew up. Just like all real human beings, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and men. That's the reality, boys and girls. But let's ask the reason. Why? Why did God become a man? Why should God the Son become a human being? The answer is in one word that is given by an old man in the temple in Jerusalem. Luke also records that when baby Jesus was 8 days old, his parents took him to the temple. And there was in that city a man named Simeon who had waited his whole life to see God's promised Messiah. And God told him that he would not let him die until he had seen him. And Simeon knew today is the day. And when he held the child, when he held baby Jesus, the Bible says he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The reason for the incarnation is our salvation. Why did God become a human being? I'll tell you, boys and girls, only God is powerful enough to save us. But to save us, we need somebody who can do all of the things God commanded for us. Because we don't do all the things God commanded. We don't do them perfectly. We don't even do them very well. We need somebody who could do all that for us. Romans chapter 5 teaches us that we need someone who will fulfill righteousness for us, who will do all that God expects. But how does God obey His mom and dad? How does God love His neighbor with all of His heart? How does God keep all the commandments given to human beings? He obeys by becoming a man, by becoming a baby who grows up into youth and adulthood, perfectly doing everything you and I should do, but don't do. The Bible also tells us that for us to be saved, someone must take our punishment for us. We deserve death. We deserve hell, the awful wrath of God. And the only way we can be saved is if somebody takes that for us. But how can God suffer? God is perfect and He has everything He needs. How can He suffer? How can God die? He is immortal. That means, boys and girls, He cannot die. Oh, but God became a man so that He could suffer for us, so that He could die for us. This is the reason for the incarnation, that big word that reminds us why Christmas is so wonderful, why we have so much joy at this season. At a certain time, at a certain place, when everything was just right, God the Son became a human being, though He never stopped being God. He grew up. He lived a perfect life, sinless. He did all of the good things we should do and none of the bad things we often do. And He gave His life for us. Jesus Himself said it to His disciples. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." That's the payment, the price that we owe God for our sin. He came for that reason. Boys and girls, the reason for the joy of Christmas is that the Son of God is both human and deity. He's divine. He's God. And because He is both of those, He is the only one in the universe who can save us. Oh, boys and girls, I hope you have trusted Jesus as your Savior. And if you have not, you can today. You can today. You can tell God that you know you're a sinner and yet you know you deserve judgment, but you believe that Jesus did everything good for you and that He took your punishment for you. You can tell God you believe that He died for you and you trust Him and you ask Him for salvation, for the forgiveness of your sins, and He will give it. The Bible says He doesn't turn away anyone who comes to Him. That is the joy of Christmas. Boys and girls, if you have already trusted Christ, then join with us, as you already have, in enjoying the season, in singing His praises, in sharing with one another gifts that remind us of the great gift that God gave us. The incarnation. That is the reason for Christmas. That is God's great gift to us. Thank you for your attention, boys and girls.
Pastor Olson, thank you very much for that clear story to present of the Christmas message. Boys and girls, I hope you enjoyed that. The most important thing, as our brother was saying, do you have the Lord Jesus in your heart? Have you invited Jesus to save you from your sins? Do you know something? It's as simple as praying and saying, "God, forgive me of my sin. Blessed Lord Jesus, come in and save me from my sins." And when you do that, you're asking God to take control of your life. You're asking the Lord to come in and possess your life and guide you and direct you, and then one day to take you home to heaven when you die. We have much to be thankful for. So remember at this Christmas season, there's some very special thing to be thankful for, that you would thank God for sending His only begotten Son into this world to save you. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful tonight for the clarity of the Word of God, of the message of the incarnation of Jesus. We pray, Father, for a blessing to be upon every one who has heard the Word. Pray for the boys and girls that they would early in their lives trust in Christ. Father, save them, we pray. Don't let any boy or girl who have come through our Sunday school or our Good News Club go out without trusting the Savior. Lord, hear us now. Please receive our thanksgiving for this special night and our fellowship downstairs and the good things that have been provided for us, our food. Bless them to us and bless our fellowship, that everything we say and do may be for the glory of God. Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, boys and girls and adults, we are very thankful for your coming to our service tonight. We're happy that you've been here with us. And we do hope you'll not rush away, but you'll make your way downstairs so we can have the time of food and fellowship together. Thank you very much for coming to our service tonight.